We're here to talk about celebration today. Celebration. We're finishing up this series on relationship and talking about celebrating relationship. And so thinking of celebration or celebrate, what do we celebrate? Anybody?
Birthdays.
What else?
Holidays.
Can you be more specific?
Christmas.
All right. What else do we celebrate?
Anniversaries,
graduations, weddings, all of that. We celebrate. We, you know, celebration is we gather together to be glad about some accomplishment, some event that's worthy of celebration. We sometimes our celebrations are commemorative. We commemorate certain things like your birthday, an anniversary. 4th of July, Christmas, Easter. Easter's coming up here in a few weeks. So we celebrate, we commemorate, we acknowledge a significant event that's worthy of being excited about. So we celebrate. And so today we're going to talk about celebration in the context of relationship. And so I have just three points and keep it simple here. And I'm going to talk about how we celebrate God. We celebrate God, and then we're going to talk about how God celebrates us, and then finally, how we celebrate each other. So those are that's where we're going, and I'd like to just pray commit this time to God's direction. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word opens up to us your thoughts. Your intentions toward us, your attributes, what you're like. You give us a picture of what you're like. Help us to see today what your word says. Help us to understand more fully what you're like and what your attitudes towards us are. And so we trust you for that. Thank you that you're present with us. Amen. So we celebrate God. We celebrate God, and that's Tommy, you think, okay, how do we do that? What does that mean? And I'm going to look at just a couple of the Psalms. They are songs. It's right in the middle of the Bible. They're songs that are written in worship or celebration towards God. And so we're going to read just a short little psalm, Psalm 100. It's only five verses, and look and see what we can learn there. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The first word, shout. We don't shout too much. We tend to be quiet folks here in Wisconsin. We don't shout too much. When I think of shouting, I think of maybe a football game or a basketball game. You might shout when your team scores the winning goal, the winning touchdown, what have you. You might shout, but here starts this psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout. Get noisy. He's telling us, get noisy. For joy for the Lord. Worship with gladness. Gladness. I think of what makes us glad and what gladness really means to us. And I when I look outside, I think what would make me glad is a little sunshine. A sunny day can make us glad. Make us glad to be alive, glad the sun's shining on us. A visit from a good friend, from an old friend you haven't seen in a while. That makes us glad. Getting through a difficult time. Makes us glad. We're glad to get through it. So it says to worship the Lord with gladness, with happiness, happiness of your heart. Why? Why should we do this? Why should we worship God? Why should we celebrate God? And I'd say it's for who he is and for what he does, for who he is and what he does. It says in verse 3, there's things that we should know. It says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. Another version says, it is he who made us and not we ourselves. Know that the Lord is God. He's God. He is, and it doesn't say he is a God. He's not one of many. He is the God. He is God of the universe. He is the one. And we should recognize him for who he is. And it says it is he who made us and we are his. I remember a song. I have to confess, I used to listen to John Denver. Anybody listen to John Denver? Yeah, sure. You're out there. Even some younger folks. That's good. Well, John Denver had a song. I listened to him a lot when I was when I was younger. And he had a song that the first line was, "Welcome to my morning. Welcome to my day. I'm the one responsible. I made it just this way." What a ridiculous thing to say. That is ridiculous. I'm the one responsible. I made it just this way. It's cloudy because I made it that way. That's nutty. I am not responsible. God is responsible. God made what we see, not me. God made me, not me. He is God. He is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We belong to him. He is the one that has all the power and all the knowledge, not me. And so it's simply put, God is God. He's made us. And it goes on to say, in verse 5, a couple more things that are true about him. For the Lord is good. He's good, plain and simple. He's good. There's no shadow, no question about him. He's good. And his love endures forever. Forever. His love doesn't stop. His love doesn't get tired. His love doesn't change its focus. He and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He's faithful all the time. He continues to be faithful. He was faithful to our great-great-grandparents. He's faithful to us. He's faithful through all generations. Just looking at that verse 5, it says he's good, his love endures, he's faithful. I don't know anybody else like that. I know some good, good people. But I don't know anybody like that, that this can be said about them. They're good, no question. They're always good. Their love endures forever, and their faithfulness, they're always faithful. That's God's attributes. He's unlike anyone we know. And for that reason, because of who he is, we can celebrate him and should celebrate him. Turning the page to Psalm 103 is another psalm that talks about God and what he does. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a little bit longer. But it starts out and says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. All my inmost being, all that's inside of me, my will, my emotions, my desires, all of that should praise God. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Don't forget the benefits. How God is blessed. How God is blessed. Forget none of those benefits. And what are some of them? He forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires with good things. He is good to us. He desires to do us good. Forgives my sin, redeems my life from the pit, crowns me with love and compassion. Going on to verse 8, it said, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." He's compassionate and gracious. That's the kind of friends I want. I want friends who are compassionate and gracious to me. That's what it says God is toward us. He's compassionate. And he's slow to anger. He's not waiting to whack me. He's not waiting for a chance. Can't wait for the next time Mark steps out of line so I can let him have it. It says he's slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't treat us. He doesn't see my indifference to him sometimes, where I'm just going about my business, indifferent to him. He doesn't see that and have it in for me because of that. He doesn't treat me the way I would deserve to be treated. Sometimes I think if I treated a friend the way I treat God sometimes, my indifference towards him, where I can go along and kind of ignore what he does and who he is, if I treated a friend that way, I wouldn't go very far with that friend. And yet God is compassionate and gracious toward us. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. One more psalm. Psalm 150, it's the last psalm in the book of Psalms. And it talks about how we might celebrate God and as we recognize him for who he is. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a noisy psalm. When I read that, I think, that's kind of noisy. Speaking of all these instruments, making noise, making sound, making a racket. It's kind of interesting. It mentions cymbals twice. Cymbals are an instrument. There's some back here. They're an instrument that even I could probably play. And when I think of cymbals, and I think of how if you've got a toddler around, and toddlers, if you're in the kitchen with a toddler, toddlers have been open in the bottom cupboards as long as there have been bottom cupboards, I think. And if you're fortunate, they open the Tupperware cupboard with all the plastic, and it's quiet. But if they get to that cupboard with the pots and pans in it, and they get two pieces out of that, what do they automatically do? Bang them together. Why do toddlers like that noise? I don't know. They just like to make a racket. And that's what cymbals are. Cymbals are just pots and pans. No offense, drummers. But they clash, they crash. It says with the crash, with resounding cymbals. So making noise. I think we can be fairly sedate. We tend to be sedate in our celebration of God. This psalm instructs us to make some noise. And it's good when we play. And I just so much appreciate the musicians that play for us to celebrate with, unreservedly celebrate God. So how do we do that? How do we celebrate God? One is we acknowledge him for who he is. You know, we appreciate being acknowledged when we do something, when we create something, when we accomplish something. We all appreciate being appreciated, being recognized. Hey, good job. Good job. And if we do something, particularly if we do it for someone else, and it's ignored, and it's unrecognized, that's a little bothersome, I think. You know, particularly if you do something for somebody, and for them to just ignore it, that's a little bothersome. I don't think God's any different. He wants us to acknowledge him, acknowledge what he's done, recognize it. Express gratitude. Thank him continually for things big and small. Be ready to thank him. Thank him for the day. Thank him for the rain, the sun. Thank him for the food on the table. Thank him for the friends you've got, the job you've got, whatever. Expressing gratitude. That's how we can celebrate God. Read the Psalms. Another way we can celebrate God is read the Psalms. These 150 Psalms were written for us to... They're songs written for us to learn about worship and celebrating God. And there's a way you can read all 150 Psalms in a month that I sometimes do. Where you, on the first of the month, you read Psalm 1, 31, 61, 91, 121. And on the second of the month, you read Psalm 2, 32, 62, 92, 122. And in 30 days, you'll be through all 150 Psalms, reading five a day. So read the Psalms. Many of them are celebrations. Some are complaints. But it's they're honest songs towards our God. So praise Him. Recognize Him. Praise Him publicly. Read the Psalms. Sing. Another thing we do is we celebrate communion. That's a commemorative. That's like celebrating an anniversary, so to speak. But we celebrate communion, an event that occurred, and we remember it with certain activities, with certain things we do. So we celebrate communion. As a body, we do that to remember what Jesus did for us. So that's how we might celebrate God. So then the next thing we want to look at is God celebrates us. God celebrates us. And I believe this is true. I want to explain. But as I began to think about it, it was a little bit surprising to me as I thought, okay, God celebrates us. Why in the world would that be? Because as I consider the world around me, I consider how big a place we live in, how many people are around, I think, why would God know about or care about me? Is that true? In Psalm 8, it says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? Who am I? Why would God think about me? Does God think about me?" I mean, I thought about it. I thought that, you know, we live in Wisconsin, just a small piece in a country in a big world, and the governor. Does the governor of Wisconsin know me? Nope. He doesn't. I'm pretty sure of that. I saw him across the lobby at the hospital a couple weeks ago, and he didn't wave or anything. Anybody here know, does the governor know anybody in here? Nobody knows the governor. Okay. That was true in First Service too. He doesn't know anybody there either. And why not? And I don't expect to be known by the governor. Why not? Because there's a lot of people to know. How could he possibly know us all? And so I see God the same way. I think, there's a whole bunch of people in this world. Why would he know me? How would he know me? I don't amount to much. Why would he know me? But I believe he does. I believe he does. And we tend to think even that maybe God has a kind of a take-it-or-leave-it attitude towards us. You know, I think of the governor. He could have that, well, you know, as far as governor's concerned, I'm a taxpayer. That's kind of where I fit in the thing. I pay state taxes, and he's glad for that, I'm sure. But we can have an attitude that God thinks about us that way, too, that, well, that's just one of those, he knows people. He knows the whole crowd, but he doesn't know me. He doesn't know Mark. And so we can kind of think God has this take it or leave it attitude towards me, towards us. But I don't believe he does. And the reason I think that is illustrated here in the book of Luke, one of the Gospels, Luke 15. And Luke 15 talks about, there's three stories in Luke 15. About some lost things. There's three stories. One about a lost sheep, one about a lost coin, and about a lost son. And a shepherd loses a sheep, goes out, finds his sheep that was lost. And when he finds the sheep, he calls his friends and neighbors together and they celebrate because he lost a sheep and now he found it. And then the second story is a woman has 10 coins. She loses a coin. And she looks all over the house for it and finally finds it, and she calls her friends and neighbors together to celebrate. I found this lost coin. I imagine it's a pretty significant piece of her wealth, I guess, a coin. So she celebrated that lost coin. Yeah, that's great. You know, lose things, find them, and, you know, that's reason to celebrate. But the third story is about a lost son. A father had a couple of sons. One of them took half of his father's wealth, took his inheritance, took off, wasted it, came to the end of his rope, basically, decided, boy, I got nowhere else to go. I'm broke. I'm going to go home, see if dad will take me back as a servant. So, dad responds, so, son is coming home, walking down the road, and in Luke 15, 20, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son began to apologize. Dad interrupts, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. In this story, who is the father? God is the father. God is the father in this story. Who is the son? I am. You are. God celebrates us. God celebrates us. God runs. Jesus told this story. And when the son was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion. He ran to his son. He didn't stay inside and wait for the son to knock on the door. He didn't think, boy, I'm going to make this hard for that kid. I'm going to make him squirm a little bit. He ran to him, threw his arms around him, and began to celebrate. It sounds too good to be true. It sounds too good to be true. This father was celebrating his son. God celebrates us. God celebrates us. Oftentimes when we think about our relationship with God, we tend to emphasize our side of the relational equation. You know, how we approach God, how we want to know him, how we move towards him. We think that that's where the work is, or that's where the enthusiasm is. But according to this story, God is more enthusiastic about our relationship with him than we are. And it's hard to understand. It's difficult to know why. I don't. I'm not sure I can explain it. I was reading yesterday in Psalm 139. I don't have this on a slide, but 139 is a psalm about how God knows you. How God knows you. How intimately he's acquainted with you. And the psalmist is writing, and he says, you know when I sit and when I rise, you know my thoughts from afar, you know when I go out, you know when I lie down, you're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. And as I read that, just like that story of that son coming home to his father, I go, really? Really? And I'm much encouraged, because the person writing this psalm had the same response. He said in verse 6, he goes, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too good, too lofty, too high for me to attain. I don't understand it. But he believed it. I don't understand it. I don't know how that can be. How God cares about me. The governor doesn't know me, but God does. That's amazing. God celebrates us. God celebrates us. And I think, like I said, that his enthusiasm, he's more enthusiastic about our relationship than we are. And I see that in You know, sometimes Jesus told us we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I think, man, that's asking a lot. Wow. God, you're asking a lot. And I got other things going on here. And yet I thought about, on the other hand, what he did to bring us back to himself. Jesus, who was in fellowship with his Father in heaven, left that situation, came to earth, became one of us, and lived and died in our place to bring us back. He went a lot farther than he's asking us to go. And it's rather incredible. Believe it. It's true. How do we apply that? What do we do with that? What do we do with that? And I think, simply put, we revel in it. We revel in it. We enjoy it. We dwell on it. Take these verses that in the scriptures that tell us what God thinks of us. Tell us that he is passionate about us. Tell us that his love doesn't quit. And dwell on them. Let them sink in. Let them change how we think. Let them change us. Let them change our way of thinking. Last of all, we celebrate each other. We celebrate each other. We are, as those who have come into this relationship with God through Christ, we have one. We have a bond together. As Christians, we have a bond. We have a connection. As members of his body. And in Colossians 3, just share this. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We are members of one body. You know, that illustration of us being members of one body is something that goes through the New Testament, and I think about how we celebrate each other, and as our bodies serve us well, if our bodies are working as the way they're designed, and we're doing something we enjoy, we celebrate all the different parts, hands and feet and head and trunk, and we celebrate the parts. We enjoy them. We are glad for them, and in the same way, we can, as one body, celebrate each other. And celebrate that. We can be thankful. It says to be thankful. That our default mode towards each other would be gratitude. That our default, what we go to about others is gratitude. That we would be thankful for one another and for what we each bring to the table. That would be admonishing and encouraging each other with words and music. There's in the those same verses I just read in the message has a interesting flavor. It says, "Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense, and sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way." Having that fellowship and that bond. You know, we have a bond together as those who have come into that relationship with God. We have a bond in celebrating God where we recognize that there's God in heaven. That there's one responsible for this world around us. That we're not just hurtling through space, but there's a reason for this, and we share that common bond. We share the common bond of salvation, the joy of salvation, enjoying that the reconciliation that we've experienced that forgiveness that he offers. And we also share the bond of future glory, that someday all this will be a memory and we'll be in an eternal place with God where everything will be right. We share that bond of looking forward to that together. So how do we celebrate each other? What are some practical ways we can do that? One, I think, is affirmation. Affirmation. We all want to be affirmed. We all need to be affirmed. Being told that, hey, appreciate what you're doing. Doing a good job. I was reading in Romans 16. Romans 16, Paul wrote a letter to the church at Rome. And in the last chapter, at the end of the letter, he greets people. He has a list of people he greets for very specific reasons. He names them by name and said for different reasons. He's pointing these people out and saying, hey, greet them, greet them, greet them. There's 25 names there. 25 different people he affirmed there in Romans 16. We can affirm each other. Looking for things that you appreciate or value in another person. Looking for things that they do well. And then the key to this is saying something. Oftentimes we see things that others do that benefit us or that benefit others that are good things. And we see it and go, that's a good thing. But you keep it yourself. Tell them. Say something. Open your mouth and tell them. You might think, I don't want to embarrass them, you know. No, I don't think. Are you ever embarrassed by being affirmed? I don't think so. Oh, I don't want to say anything. I might give them a big head. Take a chance. Affirm them. We need to be affirmed. We need to be affirmed. Mark Twain said he could live for 2 months on a good compliment. You know, a compliment well placed is memorable. We remember when somebody tells us something we're doing well. And we have the opportunity to do that for each other. So affirm one another. A kind of a related thing, but a little bit different, is expressing gratitude. Just being thankful. Just telling people, thanks. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for how you bless me. Write a note of gratitude. You know, we tend not to get letters, handwritten letters, you know, the kind you put a stamp on and put in the mailbox. We don't, email is so much quicker, right? Our daughter Sarah, she lives far away, and she has always put things on paper and written notes and thanks or whatever. And so, you know, when you go to the mailbox and you go through, you got your bills, you got your junk, got your campaign literature, and then there's a note from Sarah. That's the best thing of all, especially when she's expressing gratitude. So write a note. Another thing we can do to celebrate each other is enjoy the differences. We're all different. We all have different abilities, different strengths, different weaknesses. Enjoy them. Don't just put up with them, but learn to enjoy those differences. Enjoy the differences. Take initiative. It's another way we can celebrate each other, is just by taking initiative, giving somebody a call, having them over, meeting them for coffee. Just take that initiative. We tend to, our culture, I think, tends to kind of isolate us. We tend to stick to ourselves, and it's good in community to mix it up and to spend time together, have fun together, celebrate occasions. Last week, our life group got together, and Don Breedle and I have birthdays close together. We sang a few songs together as a life group. It's Beatles songs, but hey, I'll tell you about it sometime. Anyway, we have fun together. It's good to have fun together, and it's right. Fellowship, friendship, community among Christians is a great gift from God to be enjoyed. We can enjoy it. Enjoy each other. Enjoy each other. So we celebrate God because of who he is and what he does, and we need to remember that remember that and just dwell on it and express our gratitude. Acknowledge him for who he is and what he does. God celebrates us, believe it or not. He celebrates us. And we can revel in that. And he is more enthusiastic about relationship with you than you are. As excited you are about interacting with God, he's more excited about reaching down to you. And celebrate each other. We have the opportunity to enjoy each other's friendship and fellowship. And it's a gift from God to be enjoyed. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are worthy of our celebration. You are worthy of being honored and raised up and acknowledged for all you are and do. Help us do that without reservation, God, that you are a good God. Your love endures forever. You are faithful. And God, I pray that we would revel in the fact that you celebrate us. Thank you. Thank you. Help us understand that more. And God, I pray that we would celebrate each other. Thank you that that's a gift from you. Amen.